Though I wake to a world with more questions than answers, where dissonant voices ignite division, my heart will stand firm in this decision. I choose thankful. Though I walk through a landscape that is uncharted and foreign, where the once familiar seems lost and forgotten, I will remember that nothing is unexpected to my Father in heaven, and I choose thankful. Though I live each day uncertain of tomorrow, I will accept that tomorrow was never certain, and cherish every chance to witness the wonder of creation. I choose thankful. I choose faith in what is unseen, hope for a future beyond the adversity, love spoken despite animosity. I choose to believe. And though the struggles I face may be painful, though it sometimes seems impossible, though I fall 1,000 times covered in the dust of failure, I am able to rise. Not because I am strong, not because life is perfect, but because in all circumstances, Jesus lives. When this world stands perplexed and demands I give a reason for the hope that I have, I can only say that in Jesus' name, I choose thankful. It's not a simple choice. It's not an easy choice. But it is the only choice that brings calm in the storm. Not by my power, but through the strength of Christ alone. I choose thankful.
Hi, everybody. This is Dr. Missy here with Ezekiel's Wheel. Happy Friday. Oh, my God. I didn't know that was on either. I'll cut that off. That's crazy. I don't need two frames being on, so we'll just take that off. How's everybody doing this Friday? Hope you guys have had a great week. I've got a great word for you today. And actually, God turned the page for the message. You're going to notice that as I get into the message today, but I hope you've had a great week. Hope you're having a great Friday. I'm Dr. Missy Hood with Ezekiel's Wheel, and we're coming up on the end of October. You've got Halloween 2 days away. I don't celebrate that, but some people do. I don't. Anyhow, what's today's message about? If you didn't catch the intro video, it was talking about choosing to be thankful, choosing to look at the things that happen in our lives God's way. And actually the title today is called, it's about dimensional warfare, salvaging evil agendas. The enemy's trying to salvage their evil agenda. The Lord's saying, grab your sword, warrior. Grab your sword. Hey, Sonia. So grab your sword. And I want to tell you too, I'm going to explain a little bit about why we're on here and we've kind of temporarily gone off of YouTube temporarily. It's because of the censorship. Before we get into the message today, we've temporarily moved over to Rumble for those of you who are just joining us and wondering what the heck happened. And it's just to let the censorship kind of wind down and shake off some dead fruit. So you can watch us live at the Ezekielswheel.org website, where you can hit the remind me button and it'll notify you via text or email when we go live, or you can catch the replay on Rumble. It's all up to you. We'd love to have you though, but I'm glad you're here. If you're here, if you catch the replay, I'm so grateful for you. And so we just welcome you guys to Ezekiel's Wheel, and I'm going to jump right into the message today about what witchcraft is hitting you with. We've been taking a few crazy hits with some stuff going on. And what are you experiencing right now? What's going on in your world? Because we all live in different regions, and so the warfare is going to be different with different regions, front runner. And, you know, things seem to be pretty calm about right now because the news seems to be depicting the enemy's power structures failing or imploding, if you haven't been watching that, where they're trying to salvage their evil agendas, where the deep state is desperately trying to keep what they have in place, and the people are fighting back. Hallelujah. Good for you. Keep doing what you do. And for the past 3 days, they've actually been coming at those fighting effectively That means you, front runner or intercessor. Those of you fighting effectively, the occults probably have been attacking you with early death assignments, freak accidents. You need to be breaking them off daily. You need to be nullifying them with 1 Corinthians 1:19. If you've been feeling pressure in your chest, they go after the heart muscle. They go after your body functions as well as your health, things like that. So if you've been experiencing these things, these are attacks of the occult. Break them off. You have authority over them. Your promise in the future is long life and good health. God gives us that, and God knows the number of our days. They don't have power over that unless we fail to implement ours. And so you need to start standing up. That's part of your most holy faith. And so breaking those things off, and they actually, if you haven't been experiencing a few of these things too, a lot of us have been experiencing knives in our backs. And that's the occult throwing athames in your backs, or swords in your backs, or hatchets in your backs, spiritual things that cause pain. If you've been having back pain or shoulder pain, leg pain, they usually try to hit your right arm of authority. Break them off. Break them off. Don't settle for that. Don't put up with it. It's all spiritual. So what else are they hitting us with? They're hitting us by trying to blind and deafen our fivefold giftings. So we won't know the way in which we're to walk. If you've been given a gift of love, if you're a front runner, some are given the gift of faith, others joy. Very few are given the gift of love from birth. That's the presence of Christ in your vessel. So they're trying to separate your gifts from the gift of God's Spirit, or the presence of God's Spirit on your vessel. You need to break those things off so you can hear and see correctly and continue to war. And God's actually helping us to fight this battle. He is so good, man. Everything they're hitting us with, God is hitting back. Every single thing. And that's why we're seeing our answers in the news. And so that's a big praise God there. But anyway, strip the enemy's weapons off of your gifts. Because whether you're a front runner or not, nothing can separate you from the love of God. That's your truth. So God is, he's invincible. He's making you undefeatable. And your gifts are irrevocable. So that's your truth. This is where you have to know your rights in the Bible. You've got to know the word. You've got to know what the enemy's hitting you with, and you got to come back at him with the word. And you know, it's interesting because the Lord showed me 35 years ago, the enemy was creating an intricate witchcraft webbing system, and I didn't understand what it was until now. And if you don't know this, today we would call that, if you know anything about dimensional warfare, it's a spiritual grid or a ley line, if you will, and it's a line that demons travel back and forth on to do warfare and to hit you and to try to create demonic realities and things on the international, federal, state, city, county, and personal level. So these are travel routes of the enemy and how they hit and try to control the body of Christ through spells. And the Lord showed me, pardon me, that the enemy had been creating this type of an entrapment for a very, very long, long time, over almost 60 years now. Because of what we didn't know, because the body's never encountered witchcraft at the levels that we're now dealing with it. And so this all boils down to your being able to educate yourself on what you're seeing, what you're experiencing, what's coming at you, and also learning about spiritual warfare, also learning about the courtrooms of heaven. This is the newest technique that's being taught, I think through Robert Henderson, Rob Horner. Several of the key leaders right now are utilizing the courtrooms of heaven, but now the newest technique is also the newest battleground is dimensional warfare. You're going to have to learn about this stuff. You are going to have to learn if you want to come up above it and get your life back. And so that's what we teach you here at Ezekiel's Will. If you want to learn about that, if you want to learn how to war against it, you need to join us. It's $25 a month, and it's the best $25 you'll ever invest into yourself. And why do I charge you that? Because you've got to connect to the anointing. Your seed is your connection point. We don't want your money. That's why it's not a high price. I'm not charging you a high price. I'm just trying to get you connected to the anointing, because it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. That's why you tithe. It's why you sow anything. It's the sowing and the reaping. You get out of something what you put into something, but we've got to get you connected. And so that's what we do here. You can go check that out at ezekielswheel.org at the website below. We'd love to talk to you and get to know you a little bit. But you know, it's interesting to me because most of the church has no idea in this day and time what they're fighting or how to fight it. And at Ezekiel's Will, we actually take you through a lot of layered learning and a lot of deliverance to get your gifts clean, to get your vessel cleaned up, your heart cleaned up, to where you can be a highly effective warrior. You want to know why? You want to know why it's effective? Because the cleaner your heart is, the more of Christ can dwell near you or in you, that you're making room for him to have house more of his spirit. And guess who fights through you? It's Jesus Christ. We're not doing any of this. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And it's when God adds his super to our natural, Hebrews 3:1, which allows us and gives us the power behind our fighting. And it helps us to move forward. So that's the only way you're going to come up in the spirit, is to make room for him, to get cleaned up so that your gifts are ready and able to be utilized by him. That's what makes you an effective front runner. It makes you an effective intercessor. But you've also got to be connected to the anointing, to have people that help you get there, to get you delivered and trained up. And that's what we're here to serve you. That's how we're here to help you. So check that out. But to give you the upswing on that too, a lot of our members have gotten their lives back within a year, and they're stepping up into power and full throttle authority. And so that's, I believe, the goal of the Lord. That's a mandate that we serve you with here. And it's a drop in the bucket compared to what I had to spend for mentoring. My mentor actually was worth every penny that I sowed into her. You know, when you bless a prophet, you get a prophet's reward. And I got every bit of that. My mentor was Dr. Clarice Fluitt, and her mentor was Catherine Kuhlman. So if you want a little bit of that anointing, you plug in to that anointing and you'll get just what I've gotten. And so anyhow, you know, we always get in part, and we're here to serve one another. And I believe that we're worth every bit of it as you start learning and learning to come up your mountains. And so it's a strong deliverance, and it's what front runners are being trained up in this hour. So hope to see you on the site. We're looking forward to meeting you if we hear from you, which brings me into the message. It's based out of Lamentations 1:1-2:22. And you know, it's interesting because remember how I was telling you last week how I was getting bored? I was like, God, when are you going to change this message? Not that I'm trying to tell him what to do, but it's like, when are you going to, this is like the same old thing. And he said, when they get it and they start listening to what I'm saying and actually realizing that I want to clean their hearts up. And it's not to pick on us. I just believe that, pardon me, God wants his family back. He wants to have his chicks, his babies, his children up near him because he loves us. He deeply loves us. And so the message is changing today. And it starts off, believe it or not, with a funeral dirge. How appropriate for Halloween, huh? But it's a funeral dirge because Israel chose to go backwards, while the few faithful warriors continued onward in the remnant. We're going to talk about that today. And it's actually depicted in the book written by Jeremiah, where Jeremiah got his heart broken, which was a representation of the brokenheartedness of God as he watched his children choose to go backwards instead of trusting him to bring them forward into their new. And God was heartbroken over the disobedience of Israel, just like he is over America today. He's heartbroken because sin is costly. And what people don't understand about sin is that sin always has consequences. We can repent, but there will always be consequences for our actions, good, bad, or indifferent. And sin is costly because God must punish sin in the way that it affects so many around the vessels that choose to operate in it. And whether we understand this or not, that sin can cost us a high price in the future. It can make us pay long term. And it's what we're seeing over America right now, and the choices that our leaders have made, and the choices that many leaders before this generation have made, which is impacting us even today and probably will continue to in the days ahead. But the body of Christ, the Lord says the body of Christ needs to be grateful for the few remnant rising up in this hour, because those few are really making a difference in the spiritual arena. And it's because we've chosen to grow up and show up to the fight with newer, more improved weapons of war. We're choosing to learn how to war in this new place, which is what is required of us as we come up the mountain of God. To where the occult now is so flabbergasted that they don't know what to do because they didn't ever think we'd figure it out through him. But God. Praise God, man. Thank God. And That's because this new breed of warrior are taking our seats beside Christ in heavenly places to learn and understand whose we are and who we are in Him. We're getting our identity. We're learning to be kings and priests, sitting beside Him in heavenly places as His bride. Do you know who you are in this hour? Or are you still wandering around like a deer in the headlights in the wilderness? Do you know how to fight? Are your prayers effective? That's a key flag about telling you where you're at or where you're not at by the Spirit. If your prayers aren't effective, that means you probably need to get cleaned up. You need to get deliverance and you need to get your gifts cleaned up in order to be fighting effective and be battle ready. But if we're still trying to find out which group is going to lead us into all truth, if we're following any wind and doctrine, this is what's going to get you into trouble. And this is what's tripping up the body in this hour. And the Israelites who wanted to go back to Egypt took a huge setback because many wanted to go back to their old ways, old idols, old familiar, the familiarity or the things that they were used to that they thought were helpful to them, which caused 4,000 to perish at the base of the mountain when Moses came back. They were serving and making an idol. They'd gotten Aaron to make their golden idol. And for turning back to their false idols of religion, it cost them their life. They spent and they wasted so much time getting there. Well, they didn't waste time. Nothing is ever wasted in the kingdom. They could have come back to God, but they chose to believe other gods over the one true and living God. They choose to turn to their flesh, to the things that they've been raised around, rather than to a source greater than themselves. And God's ways aren't our ways. And so in this hour, a lot of people are going back to the old apparatus of religion instead of coming forward into their promised land blessings with the Moseses, those that are mantled with the Moses anointing as God's obedient ones. And God hates chastening His people. I really believe He hates it. He hates it. But the key to success in this hour and into this new move of God and pursuing the new move of God is trusting a holy God, even when we don't understand. And you can test the Spirit. You test the Spirit as you come forward. 1 John 4:3, Spirit that's given me this thought or that thought. Do you believe that Jesus Christ came in the form of a man, died on a cross, rose from the dead in 3 days, and that Jesus is God? You do that while submitting to another prophet above you. The prophets submit to the prophets. You don't just follow and flitting over here and flitting over there just to be entertained. And I'm going to get into that here in a second too. But this is what happened in the book of Lamentations and in Jeremiah's day because the people weren't listening. They were doing whatever they felt like they wanted to do. And in this particular instance, just like today in America, Jeremiah had warned them. He specifically warned them about listening to false prophets because he knew they would be led astray. It's what's happening today. And we see how their sin brought destruction and complete disgrace, as it always is done from way back to Cain and Abel, because our sin always finds us out. Our sin has consequences. How do we know when we're listening to false prophets? How do you know that? Do you know, has anybody ever talked to you about that? I want to ask you, I guess, bluntly, because that's my nature. When you sit in front of any leader, any voice, do their words convict you? I mean, because I'm not going to lie to you. There have been times when I've sat in services and I've gotten offended by the word. But that's a good thing. That's a good thing. God didn't come to bring peace. Jesus didn't come to bring peace. He came to divide mothers from fathers, sisters from brothers, dividing down to the joints and the marrow between the truth and a lie within us. What do we believe? Things that convict us. And we're like, oh, I don't like that message. You don't like the message. I didn't like the message because it meant I had to change. That's the crossroads that many are standing at right now. The key to that is too, is even do you want to change or do you run away like a deer in the headlights thinking you know better? And the other thing is, with these leaders that you're listening to is God using their vessel to point out sin and course correct you? Or are they only there to entertain you? Because I saw that movement too in the body when the prophets first started coming on the scene after the Vineyard movement 25, 30 years ago. And I started watching people prophet hop and they're still doing it. They're still doing it today. Prophet hot, I can't talk. Prophet hop and church hop. If I can get that right. But yeah, you know, we live in an entertainment age, and if people aren't on their cell phones, they're going to the movies, they're always wanting to be entertained. And that's where we really, really, in my opinion, confuse the Lord with what he's trying to accomplish within us, because God's not here to entertain us. The Holy Spirit, when he shows up in a congregation, is a complete blessing, because that means you're under correct headship where the Holy Spirit can flow from the head down. But when he does show up, he's not there to entertain us. He's there to grow us up to become more like him. And I think we've really convoluted the message. And so the true prophet's job skill sets are to help guide God's people, or for those who will listen, into all truth and out from underneath the spirit of religion or sin. We need to be able to differentiate the truth from a lie there. He's not here to entertain us. He's here to point out the truth in all things, whether people choose to listen or not. And as Halloween approaches this year, it's a very different year. And I can honestly say this. My dad passed away on Halloween 32 years ago. And that actually used to be my favorite day, believe it or not, because I was a costuming designer in film and TV. And my dad used to have a really big problem with it. And he would always tell me, "Sissy, why don't," that was my nickname was Sissy. He goes, "Sissy, why don't you celebrate Thanksgiving or Christmas?" And I said, "I do, Dad. I love the holidays. Halloween's just the kickoff of it." And honestly, I always made happy costumes because I was called to actually design costumes for churches. And I ended up doing that and designing for a multi-million dollar church shows before I went into TV and film. And I designed for colleges and stuff. But my heart was to do happy things, not to celebrate the evil. But my dad had a problem with that because he hated the day. And I always found it very, very ironic that God would have my father pass away on Halloween. Because from that day on, I've hated that day. It means nothing to me. And so, but it's different this year because Halloween is very different in the fact that this year, if you haven't noticed, God's been drawing his spirit closer to his people. And he's getting us ready for revival. And what's even more absolutely appalling to me, and I know we can't control the days of the year that certain days fall on, but Halloween falls on a Sunday, which is absolutely weird to me because it's almost a mockery to God. It's really a mockery to the Lord. So as God draws a spirit closer, there seems to be a polarity going on in the body. Are you familiar with the law of polarity? It's like two magnets that you push, like you try to push together, but they push each other apart unless you turn them the right way, and then they're together. Which means that's the way God is drawing his body closer to him right now. As God draws closer to his people, he's looking for himself in us. Like draws like. And if he doesn't see himself in us, the law of polarity is starting to push the disobedient down a pathway to destruction. And he's pushing the obedient towards closer and closer to his own heart. Because the more of love we house, the more God draws us closer to himself. And the less of love or God's spirit of truth that we house, God has to push them away because he can't dwell where sin is. Isn't that interesting? He told me that today. So if you're feeling alone in your positioning right now in Christ, front runner, it's because there's a very strong setting apart going on. And it's where God is now defining his true wheat from the chaff. He's separating it out. He's blowing away the chaff out of the atmosphere. And he's pushing them on down the road if that's the choice they're making. Which is interesting about, you know, what we're seeing going on in the world. But he's separating out the wheat from the chaff to where the world will know the truth about who love truly is. He's setting us apart. So true love is not a mere emotion that's fleeting, if you understand what love is. True love is steadfast, it's warm, it's unconditional, it's long-suffering, it doesn't keep record of wrongs, it covers the weaknesses of others. But true love also has accountability. Thank you, Holy Spirit. That's the one thing you told me this morning. I found this really, really interesting what the Lord told me about himself. He was asking me, he said, you know, Missy, he goes, a lot of people in the body misunderstand me. And I was like, yes. And how is that? And he said, because a lot of people see me riding around on the back of a cherub, like I'm full of all grace. He goes, which I am. I have a lot of grace. I have a lot of patience. He goes, but what they fail to see is that I get hurt just like they get hurt. I get angry just like they get angry. He goes, it's just that my grace, there's a time limit, like a clock that starts when people start getting into sin and start doing things their own way. And he goes, and I start waiting and I start sending in prophets and I start sending in people that they might listen to, hoping that they'll turn around. But when they think that they know more than me, he goes, they really misunderstand me. They misunderstand who love is, because love will hold them accountable. Love will hold you accountable, because there are consequences for not standing in the truth or for not acknowledging the truth about ourselves when God's Holy Spirit of truth places his finger on issues. And these are the sins that cost us something when we refuse to allow God to change us. This is serious. And in this hour, God feels a little betrayed by some of his own leaders that he initially placed into position, because they aren't speaking truth, but only what makes them feel comfortable in order to keep their pockets full, in order to keep their pews filled. And Lord said, this isn't an hour when you want to focus on the wrong thing. Keeping his people, because in their disobedience, they're keeping God's people enchained through doctrines of demons and traditions of men, to where many will lose sight of God's heart in the very near future if they haven't already begun to already. And for this reason, the father's become grieved, because he loves all of his children, but he can't make them choose to walk in his ways or love the way they once knew how. This is the falling away has started. I don't know if you realize that or not. If you're wondering why society's acting as crazy as they're acting, it's because they've fallen away from love. They've fallen away from love's standard. They've fallen away from love's ways in the way that God has us deal with different things or the sin of others towards us. You label it. But they've fallen away from what they once knew. And they have to choose to follow God so that their outer courts, their inner courts can be repaired. Hello, do you realize you have an outer court, an inner court that leads to a holy of holies? Now think about this. We've heard of this in the Bible, but do you understand what those courts are? Those courts are your courtrooms, the courtroom of heaven. You have to go to the courts of heaven to intercede, to front run. And if your courts are in irrepair or disrepair, they need to be repaired, which would allow your vessel to take dominion over the devil. He's always in the courts of heaven. And he wanted to totally annihilate yours so that you would have no chance of coming near a holy God again to hold him accountable. So you have to get your gates reset. You have to get the walls of truth between each gate reset in your outer courts. The 12 outer courts represent the 12 tribes of Israel. Those are the, that's the redeeming entry point through salvation, where you start going through faith to faith and glory to glory every year. That's what Ezekiel's Wills does. We teach you how to move through C1, C2, C3, C4 yearly, how to attain the heart of God back to where you can start the redemption process, the healing process, the restoration process, to take dominion, to take your seat beside him in heavenly places. He's coming back for a warring bride. My gosh, my gosh. But when our courtrooms are in disarray, we fail to understand our dominion and authority in heavenly places, which hinders our ability of taking our lands back. It's all tied together. And we fail to get our lives back, which makes our hearts sick. Heart deferred. What does it say? Hope deferred makes the heart grow sick. Dreams deferred. Because you're not learning how to stand up in heavenly places, and this is how all your dreams are lost. Do you understand what he's trying to do? He's telling you right now. He's telling you how the devil did it. He's telling you how to get back up. He's telling you to step back up. If some of you are on my website right now watching, click the subscribe button. Go get subscribed. Become a member. I'm not trying to get I don't want anything from you. I'm trying to get something to you through the Lord of my life to help you get your lives back. Man. Which brings us to Philemon 1 through 25. And in this, if you don't believe in the true providence of God, man, let me tell you, when God goes after you, when he's like, no, this one's mine, that one's mine, I'm going after them with a vengeance. I'm going after them with the love of my heart, the passionate love of my heart, and I'm not going to stop until I get you. And this is what happened to Onesimus. That's a heck of a name. You ever thought about that name? Maybe I'm going to name my firstborn child that. You ever thought about, I'm not trying to get off track, but I have to say this. Have you ever thought about naming people, the names that people give children? And you can find out if it's a good name by running out on your back porch and shouting it on the back porch. Onesimus, come on home. It's time to come home from playing. They might end up calling him Oni. I don't know, but it's a weird name. So anyway, let's get back on track. So Paul, this is how he met Onesimus. While a prisoner in Rome, Paul met Onesimus because Onesimus had been incarcerated. Why? Because he was a runaway slave and he had initially served under Philemon, who was a close friend of Paul. Now check this out. This is prophetic as all get out. And Onesimus. I won't ever forget this name. Onesimus. But anyway, his name means unprofitable because he was always running away. Are you unprofitable? Are you unprofitable to God because you're always running away from responsibility or running away from difficult things or just running from God when he puts his finger on things in your heart? You don't like hearing the truth? But he was always running away, which depicts many in the body of Christ at present. And this particular incident occurred where Paul ran into Onesimus and he started preaching the truth to him. And then he sent him back to his master Philemon. He says, you need to go back. You need to go back from where you came, where you were serving initially. And you need to own your mess. God put his finger on things and he used Paul's mouthpiece to do it. You need to own your stuff. Be accountable. Repent. So God can get you back on the right path. Because God loves you. And Philemon loves you. Your leaders love you. So when you start profit hopping, you start running from church to church because you don't like the message. You don't like the truth. You get yourself into a mess. You get in the wrong stream. You're not graced to do what those streams are doing because God's called you and lifted you up for such a time as this. He's gifted your vessel with a specific purpose. And here you are running off over here trying to entertain yourself because you don't like the truth. That's what the problem is in the church right now. So Paul sent him back. And this meeting was a divine appointment out of God's mercy for Onesimus because of the vast size of Rome, Italy. Have you ever thought about how big Rome is? Rome is a pretty big place. I'm going to go there someday. I'm going to ride and go to Venice. Ride on the boats. I think they call them gondolas. I think they call them. For those of you who want to go with me, I'll paddle. Anyway, let's stay on track. Sorry. But it occurred, that divine appointment occurred because of the heartfelt prayers of those that loved him. And they were praying for Onesimus, which is what brought Paul and Onesimus together. And this is what happens to a heart that truly desires to follow God in his ways, because God always makes a way back to his heart, into his love. When we really want to get reconnected, when we really want alignment, when we really are obedient. Obedient is the key word. And Paul and Philemon were true friends because Philemon was a praying man. And a man of faith and love. And he was refreshing to people around him because he obeyed the Lord and he followed God's will, even when it got hard. Can your friends say that about you? That you're an obedient heart, that you do what God says, and no matter what comes your way, you're aligned. You're there through the thick and the thin, that you're steadfast, you're long-suffering, you don't keep records of wrong, you hold people accountable. But people know that you're no nonsense and your stance with love. Can people say that about you? And then are you into reconciliation? Do you receive people back? Because believe it or not, Onesimus, according to the Roman law, Onesimus would have been executed for his crimes, but he decided to run back to God and become a brother in Christ where God could protect him. And then Philemon had to forgive him so that he could come back. But Paul knew all this, and he was willing to pay the price himself so that this man would have a way back. I love that. I love this today where God started talking about that. So this brings us into Psalms 101, 1 through 8. And God moves us into determination. How determined are you to finish? How determined are you to finish well? Not just getting by with what you can get away with. And how determined are you to build or allow God to build your character and your integrity so that you match his own? And do you even want to? Do you even care? Because a lot of people don't care. They're just like, I'm going to have fire insurance and I'll just do whatever I want to do. And I'll sin and I'll do whatever. And I'll live like hell in private without realizing that what you do in sin, what you do in hiddenness, your sin will find you out. Hidden sin will find you out. Because God can't be, he can't dwell near sin. And when we start testing God, thank you, Holy Spirit. The clock starts, the grace clock starts, and you can exhaust his grace. But David in the book of Psalms wanted a perfect and blameless heart. But in order to have one, he knew he had to be aligned with Christ and be willing to let God put his finger on his weaknesses in order to come higher. He knew the cost. He wasn't living in a false reality. And thank you, Lord. I think that's what a lot of people really, really misconstrue when they come into Christ. They think it's all going to be, they live in the honeymoon season and they're like, oh, I'm so on fire for God and everything's so great and da, 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 da. And then all of a sudden he pulls back. That's what God does when he wants you to come higher. He draws his spirit back to see if you're going to press in deeper. And they're like, oh, what did I do wrong? What did I do? What did I do? Where'd you go? And then it's not so fun. They feel like they're alone. They feel like they're, oh, he doesn't love me if they're immature. Or they get into shame and they start getting into their flesh. They go back like a dog to their vomit and they start doing what they used to do because it's so familiar. Kind of like the Israelites at the base of the mountain where they made the golden calf. They go back to what they know isn't good for them. They go back to old relationships, to dead fruit. That's why I said at the beginning of this, God's kind of shaking the tree. We're getting people. God is really getting people. And he's calling his true warriors unto himself right now. He wants the lovely, the good, the pure, and the lovely. He wants warm, loyal, loving, godly people who are willing to align, pardon me, and do things love's way. And quit making excuses to bumble along the pathway. He wants the good, the pure, and the lovely. And there's a difference between the pure heart and the perverse or twisted heart versus even a proud heart. Did you know that? The pure heart is always seeking God in his ways, always wanting to please him and trust him for the good father that he is, even when he corrects. You don't get to pick and choose what comes from God's hand. Thank you, Lord. You receive the good and the bad because you trust him. You love him. He knows what's best for you. And he speaks to you through his leaders, believe it or not. Pardon me, which is a part of understanding the honoring part of God's heart. You honor the Lord on their lives. You honor leaders that he puts in front of you. Because if you were drawn to that leader from the beginning, obviously you saw something valuable that was on their life at the beginning. What changed? Did you get misaligned or did you just start thinking you knew everything? It's part of honor. It's all a part of honor. And then the proud heart would tell you, oh, who do they think that they are telling me that? Did you hear what she just said to me? Who do you think you are? I'm telling you the truth. It's all a part of honor. In this day and time, if you want to go higher with the Lord, you're going to get your butt in gear and you're going to get aligned. I don't care what that sounds. It's the truth. But you're going to start getting off your high horse and thinking you're God and realizing that he's the only true and living God. We are not our own gods. And we either take him at his word, and we're going to practice what he tells us to do his way when he corrects us. Or we're going to suffer the consequences. And so we know if we have chosen to align, we know that God has our hearts in mind. He knows that he has our best interests in mind. But in order to be perfect before the Lord, This is where I think the body really misconstrues love and love's expectation of them. Being perfect in the Lord doesn't mean to be sinless, but it does mean to be sincere and without pretense. And this is what John called walking in the light. When you walk in the light, you allow the light of love to put his finger on things, to shine his light upon you, so he can make his face shine upon you and give you his grace, give you his peace. You know that all is well with your soul because God's got you. He's got you. He keeps you. He loves you despite yourself. And you know the difference. You're not trying to fix yourself. You're not trying to emulate who you think Jesus is. Because that's what happens with people stuck underneath the apparatus of religion, is they come in, and because they haven't been educated about, or haven't been given the revelation, not educated, revelation about who Jesus is. I can't give you that revelation. I'm just a leader that he flows through. But only Christ can reveal himself to your heart. And when you feel that love of the Lord and how much he loves us, the goodness of his heart towards you, you'll do anything to be around him, because love will change everything. It just makes you want to be the best you possible. And so when we're around that and we know the difference, that's walking in the light. Because we then know that we don't have to be something that we're not. We don't have to be superficial. We don't have to try to emulate who we think God is. We're just allowing him to show us who he is so that we can then align. And then we want to be changed, and we want to change for love's sake, which is what gives the world a standard by that they can look at, that sets us apart, because we're being used by him as standard bearers. You know, many people right now want righteousness in this country. Have you ever thought about this? But true righteousness starts in the heart and in home. What happens behind the four walls of your home? What happens in private? And I think, you know, we live in a time where so many people feel so duped by dishonest people, not just in the church, in the legal system, in our government mountain, in our education mountain, our arts and entertainment, the media. They feel duped. They feel completely duped. They're angry. And we need honest people enforcing just laws with holy living. But we also need holy people living honest lives, which start at home. You may not be in the same position that David was in, and I'll get to that in a second too. But if we aren't living right, I'll get to that. I got ahead of myself actually. But if we're not living righteously at home, please don't export it to the rest of us. We don't want your brand of love. If you're operating in Jezebel or narcissism or abuse, anything outside of the warm, conditional love of Jesus, we don't want it. I don't want your brand of love, because it's a farce. But we have to be careful what we look at and what we listen to, or who we fellowship with, because we will become who we hang around. People make a difference in other people's lives for the good or the bad. And the Lord's saying it's time to avoid the lies and start walking in my wisdom. Because unlike David, which I was going to say this earlier, unlike King David, we don't have the authority to execute God's justice. But we can represent God's truth within our own lives by choosing to serve love instead of ourselves. And this is what has caught up so many in their need for justice over the hurts of the past because of how God does things, which is usually through a grace period. But many have gotten angry at God because of the lack of justice. Have you noticed that? Thinking that he's not righteous enough. And the Lord's saying, how dare you judge a holy God? Thinking you know more. Trying to play God yourself. That's what gets us into trouble. And causes the falling away into the flesh when we demand to play God instead of trusting him and honoring his ways, or letting him show us the better way in which we're to walk. Which leads us, as we wrap up today, to Proverbs 26:20. And it says, without wood, a fire goes out. Are you keeping the flame on your altar of love hot, hot, hot? Or are you just getting entertained and you're running here and flitting there and getting entertained and there's never anybody stoking the fire with the truth of God on your heart? So it says, without wood, a fire goes out. Without a gossip, a quarrel dies down. That's a whole lot in that statement. A whole lot in that scripture. You need wood. You need the truth. So the flame of love on your heart doesn't go out. The truth doesn't go out. And then you're learning while you're learning God's ways of what squelches the flesh's ways. That's what that means. If you don't add flames to the gossip, or you don't add your part in the conversation when you come against a talebearer, it shuts it up because you're not partaking in that way. You're operating in God's ways. Are you encouraged today? I hope you are, guys. I hope you're having a great week and better yet, a happy Friday. So we move into this weekend. I hope you're doing something fun this weekend other than, I'm not going to tell you what to celebrate, but you know, other than that day. But if you're looking for somebody to help you get trained up, that's what we're here for. That's what we're here. That's what my mandate is. God's been talking to me about this the first time I actually walked in heaven 32 years ago. Something like that. My dad's been gone for 32 years, so I'm assuming it was 31 years ago, actually. That sounds bad. Anyway, long story short, he gave me a mandate and told me. I asked him if I was supposed to stay there with him, and he said, no. You're called to help bring the glory and the love back. And he goes, and there are going to be a few others alongside of you who are going to move when that spirit's time, when that part of my spirit's time is necessary. And I believe this is that. I believe this is that. And he's training us to take our seats beside him in heavenly places. But my particular part of the mandate as a front runner is to train up other front runners and to train you to war, to be always out ahead of the body. And I was telling our teams this morning this, and it was a brand new revelation, because we're called to serve like the kings and priests in the Jordan River, to help the body get across the Jordan. We're the first to get to the battle. We're the last to leave. And that's just part of a servant's heart, because we're called to be armor bearers for the king's heart. We serve at the king's pleasure. And so we're here to help you become the best you possible by helping you get cleaned up as a training center, by also helping you get deliverance and helping you get deep inner healing so that you can step into high level authority beside Christ in heavenly places. Okay. And without it, I mean, it's just what's needed in this hour. God's raising up training centers. He's raising up people like this. But we also train you how to move through the seasons of God's heart. We teach you about dimensional warfare. We're teaching you how to fight with the latest techniques. But more importantly, our main focus is helping you to attain the four quadrants of God's heart. How to attain God's characteristics in your life as we move from faith to faith and glory to glory. To be the Davids. To be the men and women after God's own heart. So with that, I'll leave you with that, guys. I hope you're encouraged. Please do go check us out at EzekielsWill.org. If you didn't catch the Rev on Monday, you can go back and listen to the replay on Rumble. Again, we are on Rumble temporarily. We do the live stream on our website at EzekielsWill.org. You can hit the Remind Me button, and they'll text you a reminder when I go live, so you can click on over there, or you get notified by email. But we'd love to have you. It's why we're here and do what we do. We're here to rev you up for the week and then rev you up for the weekend. But if I don't catch you the rest of the day today, guys, make sure you have a great Friday. Make sure you're staying safe this weekend, and then I'll catch you on Monday on the 15-minute rev. But until then, I love you. See you later, guys. Bye-bye.